This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am Gaius, John Batchelor. Germanicus is here, analyzing the front line in Ukraine. But we turn to the front line in NATO versus the Russian Federation. In 1949, Truman was the president. Lewis Johnson was the Secretary of Defense. Dean Acheson was the Secretary of State. Joseph Stalin was firmly in control at the Kremlin. Mao Zedong was begging Stalin for help, for a treaty, for anything. His country was starving. In Korea, Syngman Rhee commanded South Korea. Kim Il-sung commanded North Korea. Taiwan, the Taiwanese Kuomintang had just retreated to Taiwan from Hainan Island, and Chiang Kai-shek was in charge. That was the battlefield. The battlefield these 70, 80 years later is exactly the same. So ask yourself, how is it that Russia went from an ally that conquered Europe with the Allies coming from Normandy and the Russians coming from Poland? How is it that in 3 or 4 short years, Russia starving, broken, without manufacturing, ransacked by the Germans, how did they become the devil, the villain, the what we now know as the birth of the Cold War? I don't have the answer, but I've been reading to suggest that that transformation required the powers in Washington, that is the Congress and the administration, in the guise of the Secretary of Defense and Secretary of State, to go along with the idea that there was a confrontation and that America and its allies needed NATO, and NATO was going to stand up to the Red Menace. The Red Menace was socialism, was communism, was arresting people, putting them in jail. In other words, it was projected on Stalin what we'd witnessed in Germany. At the same time, it was projected on China that it was going to overwhelm our defenses in South Korea or in Japan, projected. And it was projected on the basis of atomic bombs. There is a famous document called NSC 68. It's the National Security Council. That document becomes the Cold War. And that document was certain that we have to start now funding our buildup of national security, because in 1954, the Russians will have 200 A-bombs and the super A-bomb, which we call the hydrogen bomb, the H-bomb. That was the basis for the Cold War born between 49 and 50. We know also, as they did not then, that the North Koreans were going to attack, a sneak attack at the end of June in 1950. All right, stop, full stop. That's history. Germanicus, just a simple matter. Right now, there is a continuing trend in American media to report that Vladimir Putin is a villain, is a devil, is a war criminal. That has been 2 years now since his invasion of Ukraine. More than that, 10 years since the annexation of Crimea and Donbass in 2014. But right now, the death of Navalny is suiting the same argument that there is no dealing with Putin, that Putin must go, that he's not acceptable, he must be punished. And in China, Xi Jinping is seen as the master of a force that is going to overwhelm Taiwan and recover it and the South China Islands and threaten the Philippines. It resembles, there's no proof here, but it resembles very much the campaign that we witnessed in 1950. Your measure, are the American people ready for a second Cold War? How are they responding to this presentation that is so strikingly similar to 1950?
Well, let's compare the situation today and the situation in 1950, not in terms of their similarities, which are blazingly obvious, but in terms of their dissimilarities or their dissonances.
All right, a couple of minutes. Go ahead, Germanicus.
The main thing is that the war against German militarism and the Kaiser, and followed then in World War II by the war against the evil of Hitler and the militarism of Japan, were righteous Manichaean struggles, and they required a dark lord, essentially like Sauron, that the U.S. was heroically fighting, and that there were all these poor heroic people who would go under if we didn't stand up for them. Now, we've done that as best we could, meaning we, the imperial court, and that hasn't worked. It did work in 1950 because we were just fresh out of World War II. Americans were overwhelmed with this Manichaean narrative, and Stalin was the perfect changeling, and so was Mao. And suddenly, oh, they're evil. We didn't know. And then with Japan and Germany, it was like, oh, we wrecked those two countries. And I think there was a bit of guilt there, especially for the two atomic bombs. So the U.S. was able to flip the script, and everything depended on the narrative. And here's where the A-bomb comes into play, because I've read all these documents. The U.S. came out of World War II in a situation of dramatic and unparalleled complacency. The U.S. felt, we are the gods of war. We are the rulers of the world because no one else has this weapon. And the Russians were able to get it by 1949, thanks to their terrific espionage networks in the U.S. and Britain. And suddenly, massive paranoia just spread like wildfire through the halls of the imperial court. And it was easy then for Paul Nitze to say, they're out to get us. They've stolen the A-bomb, and they're going to have the ability to hit us back. And it was really simply creating the narrative. Now, the reason that 1950 and today are dissimilar is that there is no good previous narrative to serve as a changeling. Would you go back to Vietnam? Would you go back to the invasion of Iraq, the failure in Afghanistan, all the hundreds of thousands who've died in our failed wars? So it's harder to construct a narrative that depends on swapping out one evil guy, whether it's Saddam Hussein or Osama bin Laden, with another. And in fact, today, the only available evil man is Putin. And so even though he in no way resembles Stalin, he's what we have. And therefore, most of the energy of the imperial court has been focused on pumping Putin for all he's worth, to make him, as it is in Manichaean theology, the demiurge, you know, the dark force, Sauron. And it has succeeded, at least among the elite. There is total commitment to the idea that that Putin is worse than Hitler or Stalin. And yet I don't think Americans are buying it, because there's been too much overselling and too many failures in the past 20 years, or even going back to Vietnam 50 years.
Germanicus is Marco Vlahos. I am Gaius John Batchelor. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. We're in Londinium. We're going on to sacrifice to the great god Augustus, who created the first century AD, the successors of the Julian-Claudian family, followed by the, what you'd say, bumpy route after Vespasian. And Domitian is not what we could hope in an emperor. We know Trajan's coming, and we'll be satisfied. We'll have another good century, and then trouble. However, trouble's what Germanicus and I enjoy debating, and we've been debating the 21st century, watching elements of the storytelling in the U.S. government make a change from Ukraine to, well, what's next? The resistance in Russia? Does it have a name? Democrats in Russia? We don't know. We're waiting for it. It's happened before. Done a very nice job. We won the first Cold War with a strong narrative of freedom versus slavery. It might work again. I'm John Batchelor.